national need.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. And happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The field is set for Saturday semifinals at the inaugural Basketball Africa League tournament in Kigali, Rwanda. In the first semifinal, the Egyptian club Zamalek will meet Petro de Luanda of Angola, and that will be followed by the second semifinal. The Kigali-based Patriots of Rwanda will host the top-seeded U.S. Monastir team from Tunisia. On Thursday, the Patriots advance to the Final Four with a hard-fought 73-71 victory over Faro Viario de Maputo of Mozambique. The basketball fans at the Kigali Arena included Rwandan President Paul Kagame, who attended the game alongside French President Emmanuel Macron. The captain of the Patriots, Aristide Mugabe, said it was an honor to play in front of the two presidents. Mugabe scored 18 points, with all of his points coming from three-point range. He made 6 of his 9 shots from long distance. And Mugabe's backcourt partner, Kenny Gasana, scored a game-high 23 points for the Patriots. American DeMarcus Holland led Maputo in scoring with 13 points, while Spanish international Alvaro Massa had 12 points. Under the BAL rules, each team is allowed 2 players from outside Africa. 10 of the players must be from Africa, including 8 from the country their team represents. The Rwandan Patriots will next play the Tunisian team, Monastir. When the teams met in the group stage, Monastir won 91-75. On Thursday, Monastir scored an easy 86-62 win against AS Douanes of Senegal. South Sudanese big man Atar Majak scored a game-high 17 points for Monastir and grabbed 6 rebounds. Let's listen in now to Majak's post-game interview at the Kigali Arena.
I mean, you know, being South Sudanese and being the only one in this tournament and playing for Tunisia is, you know, it's an honor. I have to carry, you know, the flag on my back, and I have to represent all the basketball players and basketball in South Sudan, and show that we have talent, that we can fight. Hopefully in the future we can have a team here that can, you know, represent us.
Well, you've made your country proud indeed, Majok, to be perfectly honest with you. Now tell us about this battle out here. They came and threw absolutely everything at you. Yeah. It was a complicated first half, of course. You managed to push away. The strength and depth that you've actually got is basically underlines your intentions here. You've got big intentions, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, nothing is guaranteed. Nothing is going to be given. We got to fight and take it possession at a time throughout the whole way. I'm grateful that we, you know, won today's game. They fought. They did their thing. They should keep their heads up. And, you know, we go into the Final Four, and we'll see what happened then. You know, it's one possession at a time, one quarter at a time, one game at a time. We're not focused on anything else.
Majak, just Lance Blanks here, man. Congratulations on the victory. You played so well. Man, I love the hair, by the way.
Thank you.
That's sweet.
Thank you.
You did so many things. Talk to me about the three-pointer, though. I hadn't seen that part of the game. You're laughing. But you sized it up. You were very comfortable. You left up a follow-through. Tell me about that play. That was beautiful, big fella.
I mean, you know, you gotta look up, you gotta look up my history. I mean, I can shoot, but you know, sometimes the situation where you gotta sacrifice your shooting for the benefit of the team. Right now, they don't need me to shoot. They need me to play defense and play hard and be the defensive leader. So that's what I'm going to do. You know, it's not shooting. I'm trying to win. I'm not trying to just, you know, shoot threes or whatever, showcase or none of that. I don't got time for that. I'm trying to win.
Okay, Magic, I got a final question, and I won't pin you down on who's going to win, but I will ask you about style, because there are some very good teams left, including you guys, obviously. And these teams are dynamic like yours. You can play so many different ways. What do you think stylistically will be the key to winning the first championship of the BAL? Is it defense? Is it playing half court? Is it moving up and down? Is it having shot blockers like yourself? What do you think is the best style to get a championship here?
Defense. Defense. If you can defend, you have a really good shot. If you can defend and run, every team is pretty evened out. You know, the final four teams, everybody's got talent, everybody's deep, everybody got everything. So it's just like how bad you want it. Defense and how bad you want it. So, you know, our team has shown that we really need it for Tunisia. And I need it bad. That's why I'm here.
That's South Sudanese big man, Atar Majak of U.S. Monastir Basketball Club, speaking Thursday at the Kigali Arena in Rwanda. And thanks to the Basketball Africa League for that post-game interview.
Voice of America!
The Voice of America is a proud broadcasting partner of the new Basketball Africa League, which features the continent's top professional clubs. The VOA has been covering the games in the following languages: English, French, Bambara, Kenya, Rwanda, Wolof, and Portuguese. Humphrey Onyenabo, the head coach of Nigeria's national under-16 boys basketball team, is tipping Monastir or Zamalek to lift the trophy on Sunday in Kigali. But Onyenabo tells Iron Mike Mbonye that Petro de Luanda could also win the first Basketball Africa League championship.
From what we have seen so far in the first edition of the Basketball African League, U.S. Monastir of Tunisia so far are ranked number one, followed by the Zamalek of Egypt. But I think I want to add something extra, and I want to say we can't overlook teams like Petro de Luanda, the Angolan side. I tell you, they're a very good side. They can pull a lot of surprise in this championship and come out top.
What's your assessment of the level of play by teams at the Basketball Africa League tournament?
As for the level of play so far, it's been very, very wonderful. The level has been very, very high. It has showcased what we have in Africa. I think we're able to compare what we have in Africa and what we have outside Africa. For me, most of the teams that came to the ball were not really well prepared. They never saw it like this. They were thinking they were going for a normal continental. But I think this is an eye-opener. By the second edition, you will see a more improved ball league.
Are you optimistic that NBA clubs will sign some of the players that participated at the tournament?
As for players from the ball going to the NBA, I'm not really sure I have seen any player that can play in the NBA. The NBA on its own is a different ball game altogether. You know, the NBA drafts 60 players every year from high school, colleges, and also clubs in Europe. And from what I've seen so far, I'm not really sure any player can be picked from this bar league to the NBA. The NBA is a different ball game altogether.
That's Humphrey Onyenabo, the head coach of Nigeria's national under-16 boys basketball team. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria. I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In National Basketball Association playoff action Thursday night, the defending champion Los Angeles Lakers beat the Phoenix Suns by 14 points to take a 2-1 lead in their first round series. The AP's Mark Myers reports.
Anthony Davis with another strong performance as the Lakers beat the Suns 109-95 to take a 2-1 series lead. Davis, who scored 34 in a game 2 win, followed up with another 34-point effort. He also added 11 rebounds, and after the game earned praise from his teammate LeBron James.
I'm just aggressive, looking for a shot, getting into the paint, getting fouled and knocking his free throws down. He's just ultra aggressive right now since game one. And we're going to need that to continue to happen.
James finished with 21 points. DeAndre Ayton led Phoenix with 22. I'm Mark Myers.
Thanks, Mark. Now let's go to the northwestern U.S. city of Portland, Oregon, where the Denver Nuggets won their NBA playoff game against the Portland Trail Blazers. The AP's Bruce Morton reports.
Denver asserted itself down the stretch to defeat the Blazers 120-115, good for a 2-1 lead. The score was tied at 91, but the Nuggets went on an 11-3 run to go up 102-94 with 3:49 remaining. 9 of those points came on 3 three-pointers from Austin Rivers.
This game could bring you the lowest feeling in the world. Yeah, I swear, some of these nights you could feel so low. And then this game can make you feel so good about yourself, too. It's a beautiful game.
Rivers went on to sink another from downtown to solidify the win and supplement the team-high 36 points from Nikola Jokic. The Blazers' Damian Lillard led all scorers with 37. Game 4 is Saturday in Portland. I'm Bruce Morton.
Thanks, Bruce. Now let's go to Miami, Florida, where the Milwaukee Bucks have taken a commanding 3-0 lead over the Miami Heat in their first round NBA playoff series. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
Chris Middleton scored 22 points, and Drew Holiday and Giannis Antetokounmpo each had double-doubles as the Bucks rolled to a 113-84 victory over the Heat. Holiday finished with 19 points and 12 assists, while Antetokounmpo added 17 points and 17 rebounds.
We set the tone early in the game. We knew how important this game was. We came out, we were keeping guys in front, we were rebounding the ball. We were able to set the tone defensively.
Brook Lopez chipped in 13 points for the Bucks, who have won their last 2 games by a combined 63 points. Jimmy Butler scored 19 points, and Bam Adebayo had 17 for the Heat. Miami will try to avoid elimination when it hosts Game 4 on Saturday. I'm Dave Ferry.
Sporty greetings. This is Ike Diagu, captain of the Nigerian men's national basketball team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
My name is Elizabeth Okumu, assistant captain and player, University of Nairobi Dynamites basketball team, and currently a player of Lioness, the Kenya national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Samson Omale joins us once again with another extra spicy package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson!
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Sunny. We begin the wrap of African sports action for this weekend with the finals of the Confederation of African Football Super Cup competition, where Egyptian giant Al-Hakli faced Morocco's RS Bakani on Friday, 28th of May at the Jassim bin Hamad Stadium in Doha, Qatar to determine the winner of the 29th edition of the Total CAF Super Cup. Al-Hakli holds the record for the most number of Total CAF Super Cup titles, having won 6 times out of the 8 finals it has played, the last of which was the 2014 edition at the X participants of Tunisia's CS Sfaxien. RS Bakani has never won the Total CAF Super Cup, with this week's clash against Al Hakli being their first in the tournament, having won their first ever African title in the Total CAF Confederations Cup in its last edition. The Super Cup is determined between the holders of the CAF Champions League and the CAF Confederations Cup. Before the game, Juan Pedro Benali, the coach of RS Bakane, said there is no place for fear.
No, it's a final. It will be between two big teams. Ahli, we know very well that champion, one of the biggest champion of Africa. But a game is a game with the 11 v 11. And we are really waiting for the time to start tomorrow.
Pitso Musumani, coach of Al Hakli, says every match comes with its pressure, but insists Al Hakli is always expected to win.
We respect them. They're a big team. It's a cup final. It's a 50-50 situation on the cup final. Yeah, they've got good players that score goals. Aziz scores goals. They've got Lashir who scores goals also. Good center backs. Dayo and Traore with the midfielder. Very good team.
In beach soccer, the Uganda Sand Cranes are one win away from making the grade for this year's FIFA Beach Soccer World Cup. This was after Senegal's 3-1 win over Tanzania confirmed Uganda's progression to the semifinals of the ongoing African Beach Soccer Cup of Nations. Uganda will now lock horns with Mozambique in the semifinals of the Continental Showpiece at the Salit Beach Soccer Stadium in the Senegalese capital of Dakar. Salim Mwenge is Ugandan Sand Cranes coach.
For Mozambique, we watched them play one game. They are so much, the way they play is so much like running football. They do a lot of running, so what we should do to tame them is like to dictate the play. Whenever the speed is high, it's us who should dictate the play and see that we make it like we control it ourselves. Because if we go with their tempo, it will be of their advantage.
In women's football, South African national women's football team, Bayana Bayana, is scheduled to play the Netherlands in a friendly international in July ahead of the postponed qualifiers for this year's African Women's Cup of Nations in Morocco. To ensure that their preparation is on track, Bayana Bayana's coach Desiree Ellis is back on the road again, scouting for talent for the national team. Desiree Ellis will be visiting Sasol League venues over the next couple of weeks to look out for players who could be added to the national team.
We still have players in our national team that are still in the SESA League. So it will always be there for us to go and have a look at, because not everybody can play in the National League. Not everybody plays there, and there's still some players that can take that step up. And we have to give hope out there that we're not just looking at the top level, which is the National League. We're looking at all players.
Staying with football news, World Football Governing Body has released the May's rankings for African football teams. The ranking lists Senegal first in Africa and 22nd in the world with 1,542 points, while Tunisia 1,512 points. Nigeria is ranked 32nd in the global list and 3rd in Africa, followed by Algeria, 4th best team in Africa and 33rd in the world. Morocco's football team maintained its ranking as the 5th best team in Africa. The top 5 teams in the world remains unchanged, with Belgium in number 1 position, while France, Brazil, England and Portugal follow in that order. In athletics news, the first squad of athletes to represent Team South Africa at the Tokyo Olympics has been announced, with just 57 days to go before the games get underway in Japan. Notable omissions from the squad include the likes of Wyatt Van Niekerk, Caster Semenya and Jody Smith in athletics and surfing, respectively, but they still have time to qualify, and the expectations are that they will and therefore be added to the final list for Tokyo. At a virtual announcement on Thursday, representatives across 7 codes were named. These include athletics, climbing, cycling, gymnastics, hockey for men and women, sailing and surfing. Wyn Van Niekerk, who is yet to be named in the SA team, is the current world and Olympic 400 meters record holder.
I think the biggest challenge for myself was the mental aspect. When it came to the physical aspect, I knew what hard work was. I knew what was expected from me and what was needed for me to get to my fullest potential physically. But I think mentally, this was a whole new journey for myself and a whole new experience. I mean, having the massive injury that I had, with that came a lot of new mental challenges, which I had to somewhat overcome and teach myself to create a positive around it. And that's helped me a lot. Just trying to direct myself into a positive direction. And physically, I never really questioned myself. I always backed myself, and I believe that I have the work ethic to get myself back to where I believe I should be. So it was really just about trying to get the mental and the physical at the same level. And by the time I reached that limit, I think things just started falling into my place.
Team SA is sending a last squad to represent the country at the Olympic Games, and the first announcement gives a hint of what is to come. In basketball news, the host of the inaugural Basketball African League, Petros BBC, were on the brink of elimination on Thursday when Artiside Mugabe and Kenneth Gasana propelled them into the semifinals. The Petros 73-71 victory wasn't decided until the last 2 seconds of the game, when Gasana made one of his two free throws, sending the already enthusiastic home crowd into a frenzy. The excited fans included Rwanda's President Paul Kagame, who attended the game alongside French President Emmanuel Macron. Gasana finished with a game high of 23 points on 7 for 13 shooting, including 4 of 9 from beyond the arc.
Team chemistry is on 100. Everybody fights for each other on this team. I can't say much more about the guys other than we love each other. We left it all out on the court. We're playing for the Patriots, but obviously we're playing for the country of Rwanda in this game. And so that goes for everybody.
In the earlier game played on Thursday, U.S. Monastery advanced to the Basketball African League semifinal after beating A.S. Douanes 86-62. Still, the men's leading scorer, Majok James, wasn't too impressed by the performance. The Tunisian champions improved to 4-0 ahead of the next round, where A.S. Douanes not only registered its third straight defeat, but saw its BAL journey come to an end. James propelled U.S. Monastery with a game high of 17 points on his 6-for-8 shooting, along with 6 rebounds. 3 other U.S. Monastery players, Christopher Crawford, Raundine Simone, and Makrim Ben Rodane, combined for 47 points. The other semifinalists include Zamalek, who used a strong third quarter on Wednesday to pull away from a stubborn FAP squad to become the first team to advance to the Basketball African League semifinals. Zamalek won 82-53, a score that didn't seem likely after a low-scoring first half where the Egyptian outfit led 30-28. Petro de Luanda defeated AS Sale for the second time in 3 days, but this time the victory allowed them to reach the semifinals of the Basketball African League. The Angolan champions trounced the winners of the 2017 FIBA African Champions Cup to help the two-time African champions secure the 79-72 victory over Sale-based team. The semifinals on Saturday will see Zamalek taking on Club Atletico Petro de Luanda, while Union Sportive Monastery will face home side Patriot Basketball Club of Rwanda.
Yo, 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 sporty greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigress Nigerian Women's National Team, and Flams Carolo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
And staying with basketball news, the Tigress of Nigeria will be in action this weekend as arrangements have been concluded for 3 Grade A friendlies with 2020 Olympics-bound teams as the teams set up their preparations for the game. The coach Otis Hugley Tuttle side, who resumed the second phase of camping in Las Vegas on the 8th of May, left for Belgium earlier this week, where they will face Belgium, Puerto Rico, and Serbia.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale with another extra spicy package of African sports news.
Hi, I'm Francis Tiafo. You're listening to Sunnyside of Sports on Voice of America.
Francis Tiafo is in Paris, where he'll play fellow American Steve Johnson Sunday in a first-round match at the French Open tennis tournament. Japanese star Naomi Osaka is seated second in women's singles in Paris, and Osaka is bringing attention to the mental health of players at the start of the major tournament. VOA's Gwen Uten joins us now with more details. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Some of the biggest names in tennis are set to compete
feet on the clay courts of Roland Garros of the much-anticipated French Open tournament. World number one Serbian Novak Djokovic leads the field on the men's side, which includes Russia's Daniil Medvedev, the runner-up of this year's Australian Open, and King of Clay Spaniard Rafael Nadal, who has won the French Open a record 13 times and is favored to clinch the title again this year. Australian world number one Ashley Barty leads the women's field, which includes American Serena Williams, who will make her 19th appearance at Roland Garros with the hope of winning her fourth French Open title. But this week, second seed Naomi Osaka of Japan rose to the top of headlines after she announced she will not take any questions from journalists during the tournament. In a statement on social media, the four-time Grand Slam champion wrote, "I've often felt that people have no regard for athletes' mental health, and this rings true whenever I see a press conference or partake in one. We're often sat there and asked questions that we've been asked multiple times before, or ask questions that bring doubt into our minds, and I'm just not going to subject myself to people that doubt me." Osaka adds, "I've watched many clips of athletes breaking down after a loss in the press room, and I believe that whole situation is kicking a person while they're down." Daria Abramowitz is a tennis and sports psychologist who spoke to Reuters News this week from Paris. She understands Osaka's decision and agrees that the obligation to address the media after a match, particularly following a loss, can take a toll on the athletes.
For some players, interacting with the press and letting it out might be helpful, even kind of therapeutic in some ways. But for others, it might be more overwhelming and tough to cope with. So from my point of view, psychologically and in terms of managing the team and expectations and pressure, the most important and relevant thing would be to take and bring to the table the best possible strategy that is perfectly suited for the particular player.
Tennis players are required to attend a news conference after each tournament match, or they could be fined as much as $20,000. Osaka says she expects to be fined what she calls a considerable amount and hopes the money will go towards a mental health charity. Abramowitz says she hopes the renewed focus on mental health will bring to light the outside demands that athletes have little chance of escaping.
There is no chance of escaping the additional pressure that media and social media, and especially sometimes even expectations of partners and sponsors, bring to the table. So what we try to do in terms of performance psychology nowadays is that we don't no longer work solely on the mental tools that help and allow to perform better, but also that we work on these all the areas that help to create the most healthy passion and healthy career that is it's possible. I think that the most important fact for all the coaches, teams, psychologists, maybe organizations, and even sometimes press probably, will be to understand that this load, it might be a burden, and to educate and raise an awareness.
And Abramowitz says any psychological support must be given to athletes on and off the court.
I absolutely am a strong advocate of bringing more mental health assistance to the table to educate not only players, but also managers, but also coaches, but also obviously press and media people. And I think that's a really good starting point. It is a matter of a mutual empathy and a mutual respect.
In the past, Osaka has used her tennis platform to speak out against police brutality and racial injustice. She says her latest stance is nothing personal against the French Open tournament. However, she is calling on organizations to reconsider their approach towards athletes and their mental health. Osaka will play her first round match against Romanian Patricia Tigg when the 2021 French Open tournament kicks off this Sunday, May 30th. And that is all for me for today and for the week. I'll hand it back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
This is Natasha Cummings Price, head coach for the International Women's Basketball Team of Cameroon and the Erie Community College Women's Basketball Coach. You are listening to Sunnyside Sports on the Voice of America.
And that wraps up the May 28th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.